Hello and welcome to Two Peas in a Pod, the podcast that nobody asked for, but we're doing it anyway. I'm Alex.
And I'm Madison. And in this podcast, we talk about trending topics and give you answers to the questions that you're too scared to ask.
So whether we like it or not, I think that social media has become such a pivotal part of our lives where I think it would be kind of strange if we didn't have it at our fingertips anymore, because so many people rely on social media for, you know, social interaction and for validation, that it's become such an integrated part of everyday life that it might even have a negative impact on people because people really rely on it for social interaction, validation, and human emotion.
Yeah, I mean, the way that especially Gen Z and millennials are dependent on social media, and just the way that we've grown accustomed to conforming our lifestyle and the way we think and the way we speak and the way we dress and the things we look up and the things we do on the web to the social media that we see, and catering our actions and our entire lifestyles around social media is almost troublesome in a way, I think.
Well, especially because so many people on social media, particularly on, say, Instagram, like to sort of create this false image or this online persona that isn't actually authentic to who they are in real life. But people just love to create these like fake personas of, you know, I'm an Instagram influencer, or, you know, I'm a fashion blog, or I'm a travel influencer or something, that people just love to create these fake personas and, you know, portray their lives in a light that's not necessarily authentic. But that's kind of how they find validation, is through these strangers liking their posts and living vicariously through their lives when their lives aren't even necessarily that great.
On top of doing so, it also sets unrealistic goals for others who are seeing these posts, thinking, oh my gosh, I could be like her, she travels so much, or just the image that they're creating, looking like they're doing so well and they're flourishing and everything's fine and dandy. And that might be true, but there's also definitely way more behind what they're putting on the web. And that's something we really need to acknowledge.
So on that topic, and staying true to our little slogan and asking the questions that you're too scared to ask, Madison Dolman, have you ever used Facetune?
I definitely have. It's never been to change like the shape of my body or anything. For those of you who don't know what Facetune is, it's an app. There's also Facetune 2, which I'd probably recommend
because it does Facetune more too. Features. I pay for the subscription, I'm not even gonna lie.
It pretty much allows you to alter and edit different parts of your body if you want to make yourself proportion differently, or you want to whiten your teeth or smooth your skin or whatever. And I definitely do have the app, I'm not ashamed to say that, but I only use it for like whitening my teeth, whitening the background, getting rid of pimples if I have some, but not, I wouldn't say I overuse it. I think everyone, or most people, have an app similar to it or that exact app that they use before their pictures go up on Instagram, just like all the filtered apps like Visco and Afterlight and Photoshop and all that. But I do think some people might take it a bit out of proportion. What do you think, Alex?
No, there are definitely like some people where I've seen them post and they've edited their photos to the extreme of, you know, looking like they're 20 pounds lighter, or, you know, even like changing the proportions of their face, like making their forehead smaller,
jaw
like
wider,
yeah, like
some,
like bigger lips, even like to look like Kylie Jenner or something. I feel like a lot of people take it to extreme sometimes. But on the flip side of that, I do think that it is, there's nothing wrong with, you know, editing some of the things that you might be a little insecure about. You know, if you want to have whiter teeth, or you have like you're having a bad hair day, or having like a bad skin day or something, and you want to get rid of a pimple or like an awkward line in your, or like even like an awkward rumple in your clothes or something, like I think that's valid as long as you're staying true to what you actually look like and who you are, and you're not, you know, trying to portray this false image of yourself of, oh, I'm actually 20 pounds lighter, and then you meet people and like you don't actually look like that, which I mean also goes into the whole conversation about catfishing and whatnot, but that's not for today. But I mean, in general, I feel like it's really easy for people to now just kind of portray their image as something that they're not, that they don't even look like anymore, especially with, you know, being able to make your eyes bigger or your lips bigger or your waist smaller or whatever. I feel like it can be problematic if people do take it too far.
No, yeah, and a lot of people do suffer from body dysmorphia, or they think like, oh, I think I should do this in this picture and it might make me look better. Even, you can even tell that kind of stuff with the poses that people make in their pictures to make their legs look longer, their butt look bigger. Hey, I have pictures on my Instagram where I've had my friends get down on the floor to make my butt look bigger. Like, I guarantee you that that happens. But I do think, I definitely agree with you in the sense that it is okay to do those things. In little bits, I guess you could say, if there is something you are uncomfortable with. However, if you're going to do that, please try and make sure it's not noticeable. I always see not everyone, but there are some people, like, good on you if you know how to hide that, but there are sometimes I'm like, oh, that fence should not be crooked.
There's nothing worse than, like, a building in the background being shaped like an S or something, or, like, it's just so blatantly obvious. But, I mean, at the same time, I think that a lot of people do use social media, particularly Instagram, because it's photo-based, just to, you know, have that kind of boost of confidence and post, like, a fire pic or something of yourself, even if it is slightly edited, just because people seek validation from, you know, their online personas or from posting on social media. So I think that it is a really good way to boost your confidence and feel good about yourself, as long as you're staying true to who you are and what you actually look like. Because if you're posting images of yourself where you don't actually look like that and you're getting a confidence boost from that, then how valid is that confidence boost? But then if you are posting, you know, a photo where, like, you just whitened your teeth, or, like, you got rid of a pimple or fixed the contrast in the lighting, then, like, you know, it's a good way to boost your confidence and make you feel better about yourself, because it's so easy to be hard on yourself and what you look like.
100%. And as we've grown up, I've kind of noticed that although the apps have kind of changed with time, as does everything, we all used to use, I guess we're going to still stick with the topic of Instagram, but I mean, for photos, I used to do those stupid photo booth pictures, and what was that one?
A picnic!
Yeah.
Oh, we love picnic.
And then the stupid, like, sepia filters, and the grain filters, and the, like...
And you have to, like, edit the text on the photo, like, me and my BFFs, less than three.
Yeah, with the stickers and stuff like that, and...
We all started somewhere.
Where we were gassed if we got more than, what was it? Was it 11 likes that you had to get?
You got into double digits and you were doing good. You were doing good.
So, like, it all started with that kind of thing. And over time, it's definitely changed. And it's been more of a, okay, I need to be more cautious of what I'm posting. This picture doesn't look good on my feed, so I'm going to archive it. Or, like, oh, I want to post a travel picture, but I have to post it between, like, a picture of myself and, like, selfies becoming outdated. And, like, how many likes am I getting? And I guess that kind of goes along the theme of Instagram, kind of, I guess, at least for me, they got rid of likes. I know you can still see your likes.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why, my Instagram's up to date, but I still see how many likes everyone's gotten on their photos, so maybe I'm just the chosen one. I don't... But on other accounts, like, even on our Instagram account for 2Ps, like, I can't see likes on that one, but on my personal account, for some reason, I can, so maybe I'm just lucky and I can see if your photo's a flop or not, so...
Your photos can't escape me.
But I mean, I think that, yeah, we've all started somewhere with, you know, posting on social media. We all kind of got, like, our first Facebook accounts in, like, middle school or whatever, and, like, kind of went from there. And even
the
now,
stupid names. Cherry Strawberry Dolman. I kid you not. Oh, God. So, I mean.
But I mean, even, like, people, like, making, like, Snapchat accounts when they were, like, in, like, early teens or whatever, like, 13, making your first Snapchat account or whatever, and, like, God bless you if you use a normal name like I did, because, like, otherwise it would be, like, Pretty Volleyball Girl XX101 or something stupid. But, I mean, God bless.
Shout out to you if that is your username, honestly.
Yeah, I'm gonna add you right now. But, no, like, God bless 13-year-old Alex for deciding to just make my Snapchat my name, so... Shout out. But I think the other side of editing too is that, you know, a lot of people do it for their own insecurities. I mean, obviously people are editing their photos to, you know, meet that online persona and that portrayal of themselves as being, you know, maybe more attractive than they actually are in real life. But on the other side of that, I feel like a lot of us have our own really specific insecurities that other people probably don't even notice, but we're just so keen on that one insecurity, like, oh, I don't like my nose, or, like, I don't like my thighs, or, like, I don't like, you know, my waist, or, like, stuff like that that's really common that people, like, don't even notice. But people, like, we still edit those things out, or, like, we're so self-conscious about those specific things that other people don't even notice, but we edit them so that we don't feel bad when we post those photos of ourselves.
I'm even taking pictures, like, I know, I don't even think I can name a single person who's probably taken one picture and had it turn out to their standards. Like, good for you if you have, but I know me and my friends, so whenever we take pictures, we have to take hundreds of pictures, and then I'll say, oh, like, my one friend, I'll say, okay, Catherine, did you like that? And she'll be like, no, I don't look good in this. And I'm like, but you look great to me. But it's just people's own insecurities. And, like, we all have them. Like, she's no different than you are, or I am, or my other friends are. But it's just, there's a lot that goes into actually, there's one side of it where it's like, okay, you're conforming to what social media standards are and what you've presented yourself to be on social media. And there's another one where it's like, you also want to be happy with the picture and with yourself in that picture, not even just for anyone else, but for you, so that you actually like that picture.
Right. And I don't think that anyone's going to post, well, I won't see anyone, but I feel like most people won't actually post a picture of themselves if they don't think they look good in it. And I think that, yeah, you're right. Like, even if you take a picture of your friend, you're like, oh, you look really good in this photo. Like, this is a great picture. And you look at it and you're like, what the fuck? I look like a fucking monster in this photo. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a personal thing where it's like, you know all your angles where you look best. You know how to, like, this one pose doesn't make me look good because it, like, makes me look weird and, like, or, like, whatever. I feel like there's definitely the flip side of things where, like, people perceive you in one way, but maybe either it's body dysmorphia or it's your own personal insecurities or something that you're hung up on that really affects the way that you edit your photos. And I think that it's probably safe to say that everyone has edited a photo in some way or another, whether it's completely face-tuning it or even just, you know,
turning up the brightness,
yeah, fixing
down
the lighting, or, like, you know, cropping someone out that you don't like. Like, there's always, like, something that you can do to a photo to make it better. And I think it's valid because people do want to, you know, have that social media persona and portray themselves in the best light possible. So I don't think there's anything wrong with editing a photo and making yourself look slightly better or making yourself look slightly attractive, but not taking away from who you are and actually what you look like.
Not only that, but going through all the edits and taking all the time to edit on Facetune, then put it on Visco, and then put it in on another app and whatever, and then save it as a draft, find a caption, and then wait until a certain time in the night when you're going to post it. Like,
oh, even that, like, even like
time.
Yeah, like, even like your peak time, like mine's 6 p.m and like it's so fucked up
on
that we
Sunday.
Know that, like, it's so fucked up that we know that, and that it's just, it's so complicated now, and it's so much work to, you know, you have to go through the 200 pictures that you took with your friends and go and like favorite the good ones and then go through those and say, okay, these two are the best one. You have to like narrow it down like it's fucking American Idol or something.
Sending it to your friends.
And like, what's the top three? Send it to your friends and then edit it. And then you have to think of a clever caption. And then when you can't think of a caption, then it's like, oh, now I look like I'm narcissistic just posting a photo for no reason of myself. So I need to make it kind of funny and quirky and interesting or whatever and show my personality. And there's just so much work and effort that goes into posting photos of yourself that I think, you know, a lot of people don't even think about or realize that they're doing it, but we all have kind of this system of, okay, we're going to get ready for this photo shoot and take some pictures or whatever on like my friend's balcony or like at this park or whatever. And then I got to edit it. And then I got to, you know, send it to my friends and see which one is the best one. And then we got to freaking make a caption and then throw your phone for an hour and not look at it so you don't go insane. No, I think that even just using filters in general, I mean, it's come such a long way where it just kind of started out as, you know, either editing the contrast or the brightness or whatever on a photo, or even just doing the stupid sepia filters on like the really old outdated editing apps. Like now it's like, even when you open up Snapchat, no one actually takes a selfie just on Snapchat. You have to use like one of the beauty filters or like something that makes your skin a little bit better or something that just makes you kind of look somewhat better than you actually look. But I think that's so problematic now. Like even myself, I'm guilty of that. Like if I'm sending a Snapchat to like even just friends or a guy or whomever, like I'll just put on like one of the filters that make me look like myself, but a better version of myself. Yeah. And that really kind of hurts your self-esteem in the long run. Because if I take a picture of myself and I'm like, oh, my skin doesn't look good in that. I have like a weird wrinkle or something, or like my makeup looks cakey or whatever. Oh, let's just put a filter over it and it's fine, you know?
Yeah. And it kind of disappears, I guess, along with any, I mean, I feel like it's kind of good to be hard on yourself sometimes. Like, I mean, I understand everyone has issues with self-esteem and stuff, but if you're constantly hiding behind a filter, or if, I always see people posting stuff on Instagram and then I guess not getting the people they want to like it, or not getting the amount of likes they want, and just saying reposting later because IG deleted. Newsflash! Unless your bare butt is naked and exposed on Instagram. Instagram is not deleting your picture and you are the one deleting it.
Unless you're literally posting your own nudes. Like, no, it doesn't work.
Instagram did
not
delete your fucking picture.
Or the one thing that drives me crazy is when people will like post, like they'll post a photo on Instagram, then they'll post that post in their story and be like, new post, hit the like button. It's like, no one's gonna like it.
I've never been guilty of that, and I will never ever
do
that.
No, because like no one's gonna be like, oh fuck, they posted on their story, I have to go like their pic now. Like if they were gonna like your pic, they were gonna like your pic. Like I hate it when people do that. And like they put the little like sticker on it, like new photo, and they like hide their face, so it's like a big reveal of, oh my god, look at this person's new photo, have to go like it now. Like no, like if they're gonna like it, they would have seen it in your algorithm if you guys were friends, or like if you like see each other. I mean, even with the algorithm, I feel like, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't actually see some of your friends post, but like personally, I find like the people that I interact with the most, like my close friends or like family, they're always at the top of my algorithm. And then as I scroll, it's people I don't really
interact
with.
Unless they have you muted, then that's another story.
Well, I mean, I'm guilty. I think probably I follow like maybe 900 people and half of those people I do have muted. So it's easier than blocking because I have a bunch of people blocked too. But sometimes I'm just like, you know what? Like I don't want to start beef with you and I like you, but like at the same time, I am going to mute you because I'm just sick of your shit and I don't want to see it on my page. Which I think it's a good feature to have because I don't always want to completely cut someone out of my life and like either block them or unfollow them or start beef of like, oh, why did you unfollow me on Instagram? Why did you unfriend me on Facebook? I'm like, oh no, I didn't. I just muted you. So it's kind of like a cop out.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I had my own experience with that a few days ago, but we're not going to talk about that. But the person was just butthurt, so that's why I was muted. But anyways, on the note of the algorithm, I do think that that's a really interesting topic just because I think it's the first 50 people that see your story, the algorithm shuffled, and then after that, it moves into the people who you interact with the most. And then people you aren't following or who aren't following you are always at the bottom, which is kind of creepy because sometimes I'll see like my friend's ex-boyfriend or girlfriend or something. And they're like looking at my picture. Or once I saw my ex-boyfriend and his dad's account was on my Instagram. And I was like, okay, well, I have him blocked. So obviously he's on his dad's account.
I love that
creeping my profile. But it's kind of creepy in a way, the algorithm and the way that Instagram kind of knows like what you're doing and who you're interacting with. And I mean, obviously I get it. Like, I'm in investigative journalism. Like, I understand privacy policies and everything like that, but it's just kind of weird. And I mean, it just goes to show who people are posting for and why they're posting. And I guess the whole goal of these socials have completely changed since we first downloaded them back in what, 2013 or 2014.
Yeah. I mean, even when I started, like, I got my first Instagram account, I was probably in like, I don't know, grade 9, grade 10 or something. And I think that back then, posting on social media, like posting on Facebook or Instagram, Snapchat wasn't really a thing back then, but posting on those two socials, it was kind of like you were just sharing aspects of your life with people. Like, you were like, oh, like, I'm at this like cute flower field, I'm going to share a picture of it. Or like, oh, like sharing a picture of like the fam at Thanksgiving or something. But like now I feel like it's not for sharing your life. It's for the validation aspect of, oh, I'm posting this hot picture of myself. And if I don't get over like 200 likes and it's not
thirst
a picture.
Traps.
Yeah. Or like posting thirst traps and like getting guys' attention, or like even just the validation of, oh, people are liking my picture. I have over 1,000 followers or whatever. And like, that's just, it's sort of more of a validation thing for yourself instead of just saying like, oh, I had a really great day today, I'm going to share this picture for the sake of it. Because if it doesn't like fit your aesthetic or something, or like it's not like your vibe, or it's not a cute pic of you, then like people just aren't going to post it because they want to keep this persona of your online, you know, social aesthetic consistent.
No, I completely agree. I always see this. I always see people recording even like entire concerts or parties or stuff, like,
oh, that drives me
instead
crazy.
Instead of just enjoying them. Like, I understand making memories with your friends. I understand if there's a funny video or you guys want to take cute pictures. I'm all for that. But if you're going to sit there on your phone the whole time, like, I'm a big advocate for not even being on your phone when you're at dinner or like
Never.
Around people or like on a date or anything. But if all you're going to do is hold your phone up at the concert, why do I need to buy a yeah. ticket to the concert? I can just watch your Travis Scott concert through my Snapchat from 10 people.
Or there's
exactly
nothing worse
going
through someone's Snap story and like you feel like you were at that party because they've posted every 10 seconds of the party.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, I didn't have to go out tonight because I'm living through your life because you keep posting about it. And I think that that's just, again, it's a validation thing of people just wanting you to, you know, fear of missing out and like kind of like FOMO of like posting their great night out, even though it probably wasn't even that great. People just want people to see like, oh, look, I'm out having fun. Oh, look, I'm drinking. I'm out with my friends at the bar. I'm doing this. I'm at a concert, and documenting every second of it instead of, you know, just living in the moment, enjoying spending time with your friends and like putting your phone down for like an hour.
No, I definitely agree. Like, I obviously agree with everything that you've said about it. And I think that's where we get along, is that it bothers us so much that whenever we see that, we're kind of like, okay, like, do you not have anything better to do? Can you not be spending time with your friends instead of posting this or this? Like, I understand sharing a few things. I understand sharing accomplishments or some good memories or like a few good pictures and whatever. And as journalists, we're very out there, I guess. And like, we kind of have to be out.
We need
to
have a social presence and like, you know, have a Twitter account or like have like all these, like, people even ask me like, oh, why do you even use Twitter? Like, it's so depressing. And I'm like, well, I kind of need it for my profession.
Right.
Like, I use Twitter for either like funny memes and like funny like text posts, or I use it to keep up with the news. Like, you know, if there's like some development in the election or something, or like someone dies or something, the first place you're going to hear about it is Twitter. So it's kind of like the main source for breaking news nowadays anyway. Even when like Chadwick Boseman died, I found out about it through someone's Instagram story because
yeah.
I didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't actively checking, you know, CNN on my phone, but I was checking, you know, Instagram, and I saw it on someone's story. So, I mean, social media is good for that aspect where you can find information really quickly, even if it's, oh, someone's at this party, or, oh, I don't know, Austin Matthews is at this bar in Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, you can find out about stuff really quickly that way. So I guess it's handy in that way, but a lot of people do use it just to over document their lives. And I think that's really frustrating and really annoying, because nothing pisses me off more when I'm at dinner with someone and they're on their phone pretty much 90% of the time. It drives me crazy.
100%. And like, if you're a memory person, I get it. That's dope. I have Polaroids all through my entire room. I understand.
It's one thing to take a picture, but like taking constant videos, it's like,
yeah.
All right, pack it up.
Like, just live in the moment. Honestly, that's all I gotta say about that, is just put your fucking phone down for once in your life and just take a second and breathe in the
air. Like, even if I'm out on, like, a date or something with, or, like, you know, out with a friend for dinner or whatever, like, my mom can attest to this. Like, I won't, she'll text me and I won't text her back for, like, 6 hours and she'll be like, where are you? Where are you? Are you dead? And it's like, no, like, I don't like to touch my phone.
You don't need unless that it's attachment.
Unless I get, like, three missed calls from my mom or dad or something, then I'm like, okay, like, sorry, I need to take this, like, something might be up. But otherwise, I'm just like, I turn my phone upside down so I don't even look at the screen and I just live in the moment and have conversation with the person in front of me. Because I feel like so many people use social media as a crutch, even when they're in a social situation with other people at, say, a party or they're at dinner or whatever. It's so easy to just kind of let social anxiety kick in and be like, oh, it's easier to scroll through my phone than it is to interact with that person. And I think that that's really debilitating for people to rely on it so heavily.
No, that's, it happens all the time. It happens more often than you would even think. And, like, on that note too, I often see when people are picking up their phone, not every time, it's for a lot of times people are picking up their phone to promote stupid things like pyramid schemes and, like, stupid brand deals that no one really gives a fuck about. Or, like, if I'm being completely honest, if you have 1,000 followers, it does not make you an influencer. And, like, people are out here thinking that they're this, that, and a bag of chips. And honestly, it's not really the case.
No, nothing drives me crazier than when someone has, like, 900 followers, which there's nothing wrong with that. Like, your follower count does not equate to your worth. But when people think that they're, like, an influencer and that they're gonna, like, get brand deals and stuff with that low amount of followers, when brands really only want to connect with you if you have, like, say 20,000 followers or something, where it's a marketable amount of people that are following you. But I know a lot of people just, like, from college or, like, from my hometown and stuff, where they have, like, a few hundred followers and they post, like, hashtag sponsored, and it's like, it's, you're not sponsored, you're just trying to act like you're an influencer and that, like, you have some kind of online presence, where it's like, I mean, maybe you were sponsored and they paid you $5 to post a picture of that Crest toothpaste or something, but, like, at the end of the day, like, you need to just kind of be authentic and be like, listen, like, unless you have, like, 20,000 followers or you're, like, fucking Kylie Jenner, like, you're not an influencer.
Or on the other hand, they're paying $200 for 3 pieces of clothing out of some random no-name wardrobe who's asking to collab with them. You know, the comments on Instagram, oh, like, collab, DM us,
yeah,
at
check DM collab. Yeah, I get those too, and it's like, no, like, because even I know I have, like, around 2,000 followers, and I'm like, I know that I'm not a fucking influencer, and most of these people are just, like, people that I've met casually at, like, parties, or, like, you know, like, half the people that follow me, either I don't know them, or, like, I've met them once at, like, a club or something, and I'm like, oh my god, follow my Instagram, and we never talk
again.
That's
the thing, too, with keeping your Insta on public versus private, too, is that a lot more people are gonna follow you, and you're not necessarily gonna know all them, but they're gonna see what you post, and they're gonna see the content that you have, and one of those days, they just want to look you up and ask if you want to collab for their 200 followers on their boutique.
No, and whenever someone even I see in my DMs, like, someone say, like, hey, boss babe, want to make some quick money? Oh, I lose my goddamn mind. Like, I've actually blocked people. Like, so many girls from high school that have nothing going for them either, they always, like, slide into your DMs and you're like, I haven't talked to you in, like, 7 years. What do you want? And then as soon as you see, like, hey, boss babe, I'm like, oh, here we go. Or
looking
even, like,
to make some quick money.
Oh, it's the worst.
Follow these 5 simple steps to become our number one like,
who
do you think
literally,
you are?
Like, girl, go get a job at Walmart or something. Like, you'll get paid more than you will at, like, Avon selling those cheap cosmetics
or
whatever.
Arbonne.
Yeah, Arbonne or, like, one of those.
I know,
like,
so many people in Etobicoke who, like, worked for Arbonne. And, like,
but then
honestly,
you ask them how much money they actually made and they won't answer you because they don't make any money. Because you have to buy all the products and then sell them. And then you don't make any, you barely make,
like,
any
unless
profit.
Unless you're going door to door and banging down your neighbors' houses to get them to buy your overpriced shampoo and conditioner, I'm pretty sure you're not going to make anything from
No, it's one of the most frustrating things about social media, or, like, you get invited to those, like, Facebook groups and it's like half priced hair products or something. And it's like, guy, like, I can just go to Shoppers Drug Mart and get some, like, get
it
some Pantene.
Too much work for me.
No, it's so aggressive. But I mean, I feel that social media has, I guess, opened up a lot of doors for, you know, professions and for working. Like, I mean, there are a lot of influencers who do make a lot of money just from, like, you know, sponsored posts and stuff. If you do have that amount of following and, you know, you have kind of a presence on social media, then I think that it's really opened a lot of doors for people to have, you know, live kind of like they're kind of famous and have this following and make some money off of it. I think that it is a really good thing. Or even, like, people that, like, do, like, YouTube or, like, do, like, gaming stuff, like, on Twitch
or
whatever. Yeah, like, it's a good way to make money. And, like, you actually get to, because, I mean, the chances of becoming a celebrity and, like, being an actor or being a musician and getting famous are so slim. But I feel like now social media has opened up a lot of doors for people where, you know, you might be a famous YouTuber now and they have just as much fame as, say, like, you know, like a B-level actor or something. Like, you know, a lot of YouTubers are famous now, like David Dobrik and shit. Like, people are, like, so famous and have this following just from posting on YouTube, which is a free platform for people to view. So I think that it has opened a lot of doors for professions like that, but at the same time, when people try to rope you into the pyramid schemes, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, so I know, just speaking from experience, I used to be really good friends with this one girl who I know was involved in a pyramid scheme, and I definitely wish her well. Like, there's nothing wrong with
that.
No
shade.
But I mean, she, not even just her pyramid scheme, but every aspect of her life, she would post on her Snapchat, on her private story on Snapchat, on her Instagram, and on her Finsta, and on her Twitter, and on her Facebook. And at that point, it's kind of like, I'm honored to be a part of all these stories, but it's a little bit repetitive for me, and I don't know why I'm seeing this so many times. Not even just about the pyramid scheme at this point, it's about the way she went about posting on, first of all, having private stories and Finstas and stuff is a larger issue at hand that I think needs to be talked about, but the fact that she was posting the same kind of things, and she still does to this day. If it's a selfie of her, she posts it on all of them. If it's a picture of her dog, on all of them. Like, I can't say anymore without anyone figuring out who this girl is, but that's pretty much what I'm trying to get at here. I think
it's
ridiculous.
But I mean, if the shoe fits and you just got dragged by Madison Dolman, then, I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
But no, to interject, if, like, we have a few older listeners, mom and dad out there, who don't know what a Finsta is. A Finsta is basically, like, a private Instagram account that you have where you just kind of post, like, you know, if you're having a bad day and you just post like something like a rant or something, or like, you know, you post like drunk shit or like stuff like that.
Inappropriate conversations.
Yeah, like just like just funny stuff or like just like private stuff that you wouldn't want to post on your main account.
To like select people.
Yeah, like just you have a few followers on it. And I think that it's become a much more common thing for people to have like private stories or like even like a close friend story on Instagram or a Finsta or something. Because again, people like to tailor their social media persona so specifically. And, you know, create this fake persona of like, oh, I have my life together. I have like a really fun and exciting and fabulous life. But then on the Finsta or the like close friend story or whatever private story, you're able to kind of let go of that and kind of post more authentic and genuine content. So, I mean, I really do vibe with people who, you know, have that kind of more specific content that they post on their Finsta, or like it's nice to see people post like stuff that isn't perfect.
Yeah, although private stories are super selective, obviously, like you said, Alex, it's a lot more... It feels more real and you kind of feel more immersed in their life, and obviously you don't need to be completely involved in everyone's lives. Like, some people like to keep some stuff private, but hence the private story, obviously. But to me, thinking back on the stories that I would post before private stories were a thing, if I look back at my 2 years ago, 3 years ago memories and stuff, I'm almost embarrassed that I would put this stuff on my regular story, because I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, this cute guy saw that, or like whatnot, you know what I mean? And like, I definitely think private stories are used to, like, you can post something and almost take like a direct hit to someone. Yeah. Or like, you can make private stories, one that's for all your friends, or you can have one just for the girls, or like one for like your friends and a few cute boys, like, yeah, mine, you know. Anyway, shout out to the cute boys who probably aren't listening, but I still think you're hot anyway.
Yeah.
But
listen,
no,
to our Tinder episode if you want to hear more about that.
Plugging our last week's episode, but I didn't plug my articles. Aren't you proud?
Good.
No, so like, I just think society's almost conforming to stricter norms of what is right and wrong to post on a public platform versus when something's private. And obviously it's private, Snapchat still has your info, and it's a lot easier to feel like you know someone when you're in their private store and you get to see them kind of behind the scenes and the real them, rather than what they're posting on Instagram and Facebook and whatnot to show the public.
And there's nothing more flattering than like when you see someone who's like you're not that close with, but on Instagram they post a story and you see the green circle around it.
This is close friend.
And you're like, oh, they added me to their close friend story. Like, I don't know you like that, but like, oh, now I guess I do. And it's just so nice to like see, like, because like you'll see them in class or something and you'll see like the way they portray themselves in public or whatever. Shout out Edward Tattermere, because I'm talking about you right now.
Oh, I definitely thought like, you were talking about someone else.
No,
I mean,
I was talking about Edward Tattermere. Like, now we're friends because, like, we were on each other's privates now, and, like, we always, like, just, like, DM each other and talk. We've never spoken in person, which I love this, but, like, we have this, like, friendship over social media, which is so cool because, like, you know, you might not always have class with someone, but you might think, like, oh, like, they seem really cool or they seem, like, really funny or whatever. Like, we might vibe, but you just don't get the chance to talk to them in person, but then, like, you know, you kind of like vibe over social media, or you DM each other or comment like, oh, you look so good in this pic, or like whatever. And you kind of build the friendship that way, where like now I consider him to be one of my good friends, even though like I don't think we've ever had a conversation in person. But like, you know, just stuff like that, like when you're added to someone's private story and you get to see that kind of more private aspect of their life, I think that that's really rewarding, and it's a really good aspect of social media, even though private stories can be extremely problematic too.
Okay, this is super kind of random, but it's still on the topic, but it's kind of random. When you are liking a picture on Instagram, are you liking the picture because A, you genuinely like the picture, or B, are you liking the picture if you know and like said person who posted the picture?
Oh no, like I'll shout out Kiana too. Like if I don't like her photo, she knows this. I don't like them, and I'm her best friend. I'm shady.
Oh.
Like if I don't like your post, or like you know, like if like we're friends and I don't like your picture, like I'm shady. I won't like it, and like you'll know that I don't like it, or like she'll know. Like if she posts a really good picture, then I'll comment on it, and then she'll know that I actually like the photo. But otherwise, like, or like if she'll post a picture. And it's like, she'll post it with someone that I don't like. Oh no, I'm not liking it. Like, I'm shady. Oh yeah, like I have a lot of friends from my hometown that she's still friends with. And she'll like post a picture of them, and there's no way in hell that I'm liking that picture because I have beef with that person. So no, I'm shady. I won't like a picture if I don't like the person or don't like one of the people in it.
Yeah, I won't. I guess I feel like I thought we were the complete opposite for a second, but I guess we're kind of the same. I will like a picture if I like the person. If I don't like the person, I won't like the picture at all. It could be a shitty picture and I like the person and I'll still like the picture, but like, let's say I'm in a fight with you, like, yeah, I'm not liking your picture.
I mean, for the most part, if we're close friends and like, yeah, I'll like anything that you post, but like sometimes like in situations like that where it's like, oh, you're posting like a picture of the friend that I don't like, or like someone like from like school that I don't vibe with or something, then like I 100% will not like the picture and we'll just keep scrolling. But then sometimes like on the flip side of that, there are some people that I follow that, like, I haven't spoken to since high school or something. And, you know, like, not that I don't like you, but I don't know you. But, like, I'll still like your stuff and, like, be nice just to be, like, supportive or, like, you know, like, I'll see that, like, oh, you just had a surgery or something. Like, I'll DM you and be like, oh, like, hope it went well. You know, even if we haven't talked in years, just to kind of have some sort of connection with them after all those years, too. So, I guess it depends on the person and the situation for me. But, like, no, I definitely, like, don't like every person's post that I see, especially because half the people are muted for that purpose.
Oh, good. We love that.
Like, after a while, you know, you just see someone posting, like, selfies or whatever, and you just get so fucking sick of their face that, you know, I'm not going to unfollow you, but, like, it's time to mute your face because I just don't want to see you.
No, I know those ones. Sometimes I have to, like, if they post something, I have to click on their profile and be like, okay, wait, where do I know you from?
Yeah.
Like, why am I seeing your face all the time? Why are you posting 10 pictures in a week? Like, do you, boo, but, like, at the same time, it's not for me, you know? So. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that a lot of people do have that mentality of, like, oh, I just posted, like, this week. I can't post for, like, another 3 weeks or something. Or, like, I've seen people who are, like, oh, I've posted a selfie already, so now I have to break it up with, like, a travel picture or, like, a food picture. And people are so selective about what they post anyway.
It's not that serious.
And, like, no, I honestly don't think so. Like, I mean, good for you for trying to cater, you know, a brand or, like, an aesthetic or, like, that kind of image. But at the same time, I really don't think it's that serious. I mean, good for you for doing it. Like, you do you. Like, whatever you want to create and be creative and, like, you know, put out there, that's all on you, and, like, good for you. Personally, I don't think it's that serious. Like, I'll just, if I have a cute picture sitting in my camera roll, like, I'm just gonna post it, and even if it doesn't get a bunch of likes, I'm like, well, whatever, I think I look good, so.
No, I completely agree, and, like, for that reason, that's why my Instagram notifications are off, because, like, on the one hand, I don't want to see Alex Collin and 150 other people liked your picture. Like, I don't need to see that every minute, especially if you're getting a bunch of likes a minute, like a lot of people now are, because we all have a lot of followers. But I mean, I leave my notifications on for Snap, but I mean, I think the best way to go about doing this kind of thing and like not worrying about what you're posting, I guess, is by turning your notifications off. Like, I know a lot of people don't really do that, but then you're not constantly concerned about the picture. Like, you know how if you look at a picture a lot of times, you kind of think it's ugly the more you stare at it? It's kind of like that. So if you turn your notifications off, come back to it in an hour, like turn your Snapchat notifications off, come back to the people you're messaging in an hour, like, it'll be a lot easier on you and your mental health, and kind of you'll probably actually like the picture instead of hating it like an hour after it's posted. So, I mean, it's a good step.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that it's definitely a mental health game too when you post anything on social media, when you post any kind of content, whether it be, you know, something you think was funny on Twitter that you post, like, oh, something funny happened to you, you make like a funny like tweet or something, or you post a picture and then, you know, you kind of sit and you're like, oh, fuck, what if it doesn't get any likes? What if no one interacts with it? And like, it's like anxiety, mental health game of like, you know, torturing yourself.
Is the hot boy gonna see
a
picture?
Yeah, like torturing yourself over this stupid post that really doesn't mean anything, and like it's not that serious. But I feel like so many people, myself included, get so wrapped up in like the validation that social media brings, and I think that's so detrimental to mental health and just your overall well-being and your self-worth. Because if we're constantly equating our self-worth to, oh, did this get over 150 likes? Oh, did, you know, my tweet get retweeted more than 20 times or something? You know what I mean? Like, it's just so detrimental to you know, your self-worth and your self-love. But I mean, to be honest, there are so many negative aspects of social media, and I think that it's so controlling and such a dominating part of our lives. But at the same time, it is, you know, it's a really good way to connect with people, and it's a really good way to stay in touch with people that you might not necessarily see every day or might not have seen in a few years. So I think that it definitely does have its ups and downs, and there are some really good uses for it. And, you know, sometimes people try to take, like, a break from social media. They'll be like, oh, like, I've deleted my Facebook, I've deleted my Snapchat or whatever, and I don't want to use it anymore.
But what for?
I mean, yeah, I mean, and, you know, I think that people are so keen to limit themselves on stuff that, like, they enjoy. And I think that, especially in this day and age where technology is, it's at our fingertips, it's so common to use it. Everybody's on some form of social media these days. Even, you know, mom and dad, grandpa, everyone has Facebook or something. I think that a lot of people are so quick to knock it because it's such a detrimental aspect to society. And it is. It does have a lot of really problematic aspects to it. But at the same time, I don't think it's fair to just condemn it and say that it's such a negative thing for our lives when it does really bring a lot of positive aspects. And it allows us to communicate with one another in a way that we wouldn't be able to do naturally every day.
Yeah, it's definitely not all toxic. And I know a lot of what we do on social media now can be considered toxic, or like we've been talking about this whole episode, the way that people have come to portray themselves, but it does definitely help. Let's say you have grandma over in another country and you need to Skype her or something, or my two twin cousins who are very much lovely and who I know are listening to this episode, who I can't see for Thanksgiving this year. Obviously, I'll message them, right? Like, it's things like that that help you out. And, you know, you just kind of have to think about, okay, if it's so toxic, like, maybe it's you that needs to do your part and try and kind of get rid of the toxicity. Like, maybe, like you were suggesting, muting people who you don't really need to hear every day, or only following accounts that, like, help you grow instead of accounts that are going to pretty much shit on you and your goals and whatnot. And, like, it's a really simple thing to kind of turn social media away from all the negativity if you can do it. And I do suggest that people do try and do that, just because then you'll be so much happier and you won't feel the need to delete every account you've made every couple weeks.
I think that comes down to, you know, self-awareness and just being aware of the type of people in your life that are dragging you down. You know, there are even if we didn't have social media in our lives, there are always, like, friends or, like, even family members who just, they're toxic, or they drag you down and they're really negative aspects of your life. And then when you bring social media to the table as well, I feel like there are a lot of people that, you know, you don't need to see their shit every day, or, like, you know, you can step away from it, or, like, mute them, or even unfriend them or block them or whatever, and just kind of cut them out of your lives. And I think that social media is also handy for that, because, you know, we don't necessarily see people every day, especially now because of COVID. We don't get to see people face to face anymore. So if you want to cut someone out of your life, social media does make it that much easier. You can say, you know what, I'm going to unfriend you, I'm going to block you, I'm going to completely move on. But at the same time, it does really help you to, you know, keep up connections. You know, if you're traveling and you meet someone cool in, like, Italy or something, you can add them on Instagram and, like, stay in contact with them or whatever. You know what I mean? But, like, before, you meet someone, you know, in a different country or in a different city or whatever, and you say, okay, bye, and, like, you wouldn't be able to connect with them anymore. You know, what are you going to do? Write them a letter or something? But now you can at least, you know, see, oh, this person got married, or oh, this person had a kid. Even if you don't see them and you don't really care about them, it's still really interesting to see, like, people from high school or, like, people you went to the third grade with, like, getting married now and stuff. I really enjoy seeing people that, like, oh, you know, I went to kindergarten with this person and now they're married and have a kid, you know? So I think that it's really rewarding too, to keep up with people's lives, as long as you still care about them and they're not toxic or negative or, you know, drag you down.
For sure. And we'll touch on toxic relationships more next week. But I mean, on that note, it definitely is up to you when you're on your social media to be mindful of that, and to obviously post what you want to post, do what you want to do, promote the kind of content you want to promote. But at the end of the day, it's all about you and being self-aware and making yourself happy, because no one else is going to do it for you.
Right. Like, not only are you able to create the type of content that you want to put out there, you know, you edit the photos and post the photos you want to post, you know, you post on Facebook what you want to post, you post on Twitter, share what you want to share. Like, you create and you control what you post, but you can also control who sees it. You can control who interacts with you. You can control your social circle on social media as well. So I think that really comes down to your own self-awareness. And if it is something that, you know, is bogging you down and it's something that is becoming negative, I don't think it's necessary that you necessarily have to step away from it and delete apps or, you know, stop using your phone entirely, because it's such a pivotal aspect of our lives. Now, I feel like most people, if not everyone, couldn't survive without some form of communication with, you know, people that they don't see every day. Because we especially because of COVID, we don't get to see our friends every day anymore. You know, we don't get to see our family. Most of us won't be able to, you know, see our aunts and uncles and cousins for Thanksgiving even. So it's nice to be able to say, like, oh, let's FaceTime instead. Or, you know, let's do, like, a Zoom call or something and try to keep in touch and try to keep that communication going, because we're living in such a distance time now.
That's all we have right now, honestly, is the communication that we get through all these social medias and these apps and the platforms that we make for ourselves on TikTok and on Snapchat and on just even things like Spotify, where you're listening to music, you can grow as a person, and your own personality can kind of depend on these apps. And like you said, with COVID, we're not going to see anyone. We can't really see anyone, and we haven't been able to. So we've had to rely on social media platforms as one of our only methods of communication. I think it's super important to keep that in mind before you think about deleting your profiles for 2 weeks.
I mean, even at the beginning of the pandemic, like back in April, I remember everyone was doing like Zoom, like wine nights and stuff. And like, you know, just finding little ways to stay in touch with your friends because we were so secluded and we had to kind of adjust to this new like solidarity or like being alone, or like, especially if you live alone too, like, you know, trying to keep some form of social communication and like a social aspect to your life, because, you know, we can't really go. I mean, now it's obviously lifted, but like we couldn't go to bars, we couldn't go over to our friends' houses or whatever, you know, so it was a big change. So I think that social media, it definitely brings you, you know, together with people that you might not see every day, but at the same time, it also can give you the escapism that you might need. You know, you've had a long day at school, a long day at work, you can come home and just, you know, scroll through TikTok for an hour or whatever if you have the time, or, you know, you need,
or 2 hours,
you know, or like go through like a 5 hour TikTok binge, or like, you know, you can like, you're writing a paper, you need to take a break, you go watch a YouTube video, you know, like it can give you the kind of escapism you need from real life and give you a break. And it's entertainment at your fingertips is generally free too. So, I mean, it's a really positive aspect to people's lives. And I think people are really quick to knock it and say, you know what, I'm deleting Twitter, I'm deleting Instagram, I don't want to do this. And that's valid. That's your choice. You know, 100%, if you don't want to have a social media platform or a profile anymore, then like, yeah, delete it. Like, it's fine. But I think that at the same time, people aren't as quick to sort of, acknowledge the positive aspects of social media and how it really does bring us together. And it's this extraordinary thing that technology has brought us, where we can now interact with people that we haven't seen in like 10 years, or like family members that live in different countries. I think that that's a really great thing. And on that note, that's all the time that we have for this week. So next week we will be talking about toxic relationships, which, not just like dating relationships, but toxic friendships, how to get out of toxic relationships,
even family,
you know,
members, yeah, that might not be helping you do your best.
The whole scope of toxicity in relationships and, you know, our experiences with them. And
because we have a lot of them. We really do.
I feel like everyone does. Everyone has shitty relationships with family members, friends, ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends, or whatever. So look forward to that next week. And as always, thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys next Friday.
Bye for now.